You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, dog pound. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here on a rough Monday for the Browns, losing 25-20 at home yesterday to the Baltimore Ravens. But it was a game where we certainly saw some major improvements over week one against the Eagles. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, outside of the 31-7, I believe it was, drubbing of the Steelers a few years ago at First Energy Stadium, that first quarter was as much fun as I've had at a Browns game in a long time. They get up 20-0. You had everything you wanted. First round pick looking like a star. Corey Coleman goes over 100 yards with two touchdowns of the day. Had both touchdowns in that first quarter. Josh McCown doing Josh McCown things, looking very good early in the game. Crow breaking off an 85-yard touchdown run, the second longest in Browns franchise history. And it seemed that everything was going the Browns' way. Unfortunately, they would not put points on the board again. They would ultimately lose 25-20. I thought overall a very strong performance by the defense against what I'd call a pedestrian Baltimore Ravens offense. Yeah. And it was not enough. And not only that, the Browns, look, you can't blame it on the refs. Refs did the Browns absolutely no favors in this game whatsoever. The penalty on Coleman, which you and I just watched on the All-22, absolutely ridiculous, took them out of field goal range. And the penalty on Terrell Pryor at the end of the game, completely absurd.
And even furthermore, the pass interference on Joe Hayden.
Ridiculous. And now the ball, that was an ultimate ball don't lie moment, though, as he got an interception on the very next play. But Joe Hayden, two interceptions. Danny Shelton pushing the pocket. No sacks in the game for the team, but they had 10 hurries, 6 hits, so they were around the quarterback just as much as they were in week number one. You wanted perhaps just a little bit more around the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns there, but I thought Tyrone Holmes, who played 10 snaps and had 3 hurries, looked good. Obviously, the injury updates, we know that Cam Irving is being called week to week with basically what's a bruised lung where he's been released from the hospital. There are reports out there that Carl Nassib is going to have surgery on his broken left hand. He went in the locker room, came out with it in a club. And then Josh McCown, what can you say about him other than, and especially watching it back, he took an absolute beating. There were, Cam Irving did not have his best day blocking. Unfortunately, ended up injured. There were, I think, multiple whiffs where he hung in the pocket and took just hellacious hits. An unbelievably tough guy, but at some point, I think when you're 38, you just cannot take hits like that in the National Football League week in and week out, and we're not sure if Josh McCown's even going to be able to play this week against Miami.
Yeah, it's overall, I'm just extremely disappointed. I really am, because just doing the pregame radio shows and the Browns countdown yesterday, for whatever reason, as the week went on and the closer it drew to Sunday, I had a feeling we'd come out and play with a ton of energy in front of the dog pound at First Energy Stadium. And I thought we'd get out early, and we did. And I really thought we could change the narrative in 1 week about how and what people felt about the Cleveland Browns as an organization and as a team. Because so many people, and even, you know, some local analysts that were a part of the pregame radio show, pick both the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Ravens to all potentially make the playoffs coming out of our division. So that meant, you know,
I don't think that's a great Ravens team that we saw.
I don't think it's a great Ravens team either. They're offensively a grind you out defensive team, and offensively they're not going to beat anybody in a barn burner.
No, and you know, Joe Flacco made a couple of plays. Jamar Taylor, not sure what happened there on the coverage of the touchdown to Mike Wallace, that seemed to be blown. I thought they did a good job against the run, 26 carries for 80 yards for the Ravens in this one. And as I said, they did get around the quarterback. They forced him to throw the ball away a lot. He was 25 of 45. The problem was in this game, third down, 10 of 16, they allowed conversions. They couldn't get off the field, but they still did play a lot of bend but don't break football. They, you know, 3 field goals on the day for Justin Tucker, and you know, you see the difference. Their kicker makes 3. Our kicker has 1 blocked and the extra point blocked and returned. That's enough of a swing right there to be the whole game.
Yeah, and I think when you really boil down to things, it was those two points that were put on the board by them on the return of the extra point, the field goal that they got after a bad Josh McCown throw before half, okay, that's 5, and then you take into account our blocked field goal as well. There's 8. Okay. If we just execute those three plays and block them up, two of which are our fault, right? You win that football game. They need to continue to make plays. That's even, you know, taking into account our ability to get down into the opportunity we did with the Terrell Pryor penalty, which was an absolute BS. He wasn't even looking at the guy. The ball slips out of his hands and happens to fall by a Ravens defender who was on his hands and knees.
It was completely ridiculous, and the ref that he was throwing the ball to saw no issue with what happened and went ahead with the play and didn't do it. It was another ref who threw the flag.
Right, and do you think somebody – I read somewhere online that people have are watching Terrell Pryor, or actually I think it was part of Hugh Jackson's press conference from after the football game, that people were told or reports came out that they're watching Terrell Pryor for those types of things because of his physicality and because of his attitude. That I don't know necessarily if that's going to be true because
they're watching him. It's ridiculous. And they were baiting him, by the way. They were baiting. Jimmy Smith was trying to bait him on run plays to get a 15-yarder out of
him. As they baited Corey Coleman.
But Corey Coleman didn't do anything. All Corey Coleman did was get hit.
Defend himself.
And then hit again three times. Coleman did not touch him once. Now, he did take one little swing at him but didn't hit it. But that is brutal. And by the way, on the extra point, not only did they get two, that was a three-point play right there. One. Minus one for us, plus two for them. That was brutal. I thought that when you look down at the third down conversions, Dennis Pitta turned back the clock and did way too much. And that was something that you got to figure out a way to be able to do. And the Browns also brought a couple of those double A gap blitzes. And when they don't get home, it leaves you
vulnerable.
Susceptible
in the middle.
And you're susceptible in the middle of the field. Overall, defensively, again, Joe Hayden, it was great to see him. He had the passes defense. He had the two interceptions. Orchard Holmes did well up front. Danny Shelton, another positive grade from Pro Football Focus. And watching the tape, consistently pushed Jeremy Zuda back and even held his own up against Marshall Yanda, where he was, because the Browns played a lot of four-man fronts with Shelton and Paya as the two defensive tackles. He held his own there. Derek Kindred continues to fly to the ball and make tackles. I thought Kirksey and DeMario Davis had solid games flying to the football as well. They just didn't get enough done up front. I thought Jamar Taylor on that one play just got lost for some reason. And what should have been it wasn't even like, you know, sometimes they run those go routes on both sides of the field just to kind of take the corner out of the mix, and they work the middle of the field. I don't think Mike Wallace intended to even – I don't think he thought in a million years he was going to get the ball on that particular play, but just kind of I don't know if it was a mental lapse. I don't know what happened there. But this Browns team, they showed signs. They showed that for a quarter they could be dominant. And for a quarter they were dominant on in every facet of that game. The key for them and for this young team, as we said over the year, you want to see flashes. Well, we saw a big flash, I think a massive flash. But, however, we did not see enough consistency to ultimately win the game.
Yeah, I really do. And that's all we expected. And I thought, and the one thing we continue to talk about is the mistakes that we made as a team is what allowed the Ravens to get back in the football game. I think, you know, Joe Hayden, you know, playing outside technique, you know, down in the red zone, gets beat easily for a slant. You got the Jamar Taylor play. There's 14 points. If you just fight and force them to kick three, you make that climb that they eventually got to the top of that much harder. And I think we made simple mistakes. The margin for error for the Cleveland Browns is
so
extremely small.
And the refs, we don't need the refs hurting us.
Correct.
Either.
We don't need the refs hurting us. But in so many situations, it was our fault.
Yeah.
It was our own fault.
Yeah, and there were things. Look, Josh McCown turned in an absolute gutty performance. But, you know, it's when you watch back the All-22 and you watch this game back, the one play where guys got in the hole, Malcolm Johnson did a good job blocking, by the way, for Isaiah Crowell in this game, who ran very, very hard. The one play they blocked off, Crow rushed off an 85-yard touchdown. Too many times, guys were just missing blocks. I thought Greco and Cam Irving in particular had difficult days up there. I do think when you saw the end of the game, however, once Irving went out, Greco slid to center, and Alvin Bailey came in and played guard. The pass protection actually looked a little bit better to me, and a little bit more solidified, which I thought was very, very good to see.
Maybe that's a sign of what's coming with Cam Irving week to week.
Hopefully it is, because at that point they knew we were passing. It was really the last drive. It was the last couple
of
plays.
And honestly, Cam Irving is a part of our future. But at this point right now, if Hugh Jackson is fully dedicated to attempting to win football games, you've got to do what's best. I think development may go out the window when it comes to Cam Irving.
That will you know, take care of itself with the injury right now. I mean, the guy, he got a false start penalty. How can you get a false start penalty as a center
when you have the ball in your
hand? When you have the ball in your hand on fourth and two, you can't do that. So those mistakes again keep happening. They need to clean those up, but there were signs. The ground game, Crow, Duke out of the backfield looked very good. Andrew Hawkins with some big third down conversions. Corey Coleman looking like what you want a first round pick to say. Looking what you want him to be. When's the last time the Browns had a first-round pick who looked like he could be a stud? And Coleman certainly did.
Right, he did. He definitely did. And I think the one thing that I saw and got me excited was, and this is throughout the football game, some of it was the execution wasn't there or the protection was not there, was the we saw Hugh Jackson get into a rhythm calling plays.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, with, and it wasn't like we did a bunch of exotic trick plays. It was just he's running hot. You've broke the run at that point. You pick your spots down the football field. I thought we saw Terrell Pryor at times play like a wide receiver, which is encouraging to make some catches, some deep digs. You know, the curls versus zone coverage. Those are things that he's going to have to do. And that's what got me excited, and that's what something that I've continually wanted to be a part of that we didn't get to see much of, only being on the field against the Philadelphia Eagles 20 minutes.
Yeah. And another one play that stood out to me from the ref standpoint in this game, how about Josh McCown gives himself up in this league, in the quarterback league, clearly gives himself up, and then three Ravens just crush him.
It's ridiculous.
And Crow went bananas. Crow was pissed, and Ed, he was right to be pissed. The refs, it was a rough day for the referees all around. The Browns do not need that on top of what they did. But at the end of the day, still, you got to find a way to finish. And that's what Hugh Jackson said after the game. I got to coach these guys up on how to finish because you're up 20 to nothing. You should win.
And that, and be honest
you
with
win.
You, there is a learning curve when it comes to that. And the only way, and I said the only way you can get reps is by being out on the football field. We've heard Hugh Jackson say the only way you get better at playing the game of football is practicing the game of football. And that's why we saw the siren periods. We had that live Friday night session, you know, prior to the Orange and Brown scrimmage where Corey Coleman really shined. And finishing games, this is as much as we saw improvement from week one to week two, from the Eagles game to the Ravens game, and I'm sure there was a lot to learn from, as there always is for every team after week one, because you don't know who you are. You have an understanding. When you get yourself in a situation, this is a situation that Hugh Jackson and his staff, or Josh McCown, Robert Griffin III, or Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, can refer back to now as you get to the, and I know you said it in the pregame show, that five-minute mark in the fourth quarter.
And they were there.
And you go, hey, we're there. We have the lead. We need to be the team that makes one more play than they do to get it done. And they were there. And now we saw them get to that point, which is great, and crumble. This is the part of the learning process that this young football team has to go through, that Hugh Jackson has to continually hang over their head and refer back to situations like this about the feeling that you have today when one slips through your fingers.
Yes, and that was something that they're going to have to sit with after not being able to get it done. They got close. That penalty obviously was horrific. The Browns should have had first and goal at the 10 with about 20 seconds left, three opportunities to get it into the end zone. Again, positives, development, progress, but not enough. It's a bottom line business. It's a winning and losing business, and they have not been able to figure it out just yet. And that, to me, is very, very, very disappointing because he had everybody rocking. It was the home opener. It looked good. And then, unfortunately, they couldn't seal the deal. Now, some of the things were against them, and there were everybody. We can talk about what the referees did in this game, but at the end of the day, that's not enough. You got to make plays. You got to get them off the field on third down, 10 of 16 conversions. Not good enough. But you saw things at least, and young guys continuing to play well for this team that gives you the confidence that, okay, we're going to start to get these guys. What makes me sad is I'm not sure if we're going to get to see Josh McCown quarterback this team, because it's one thing to go from RG3 to Josh McCown. It's another thing to go from Josh McCown to Cody Kessler, who I think is still a long way away from being ready to be the quarterback.
So where does that put us?
And I don't know. And I don't know. In a very tough situation.
It does. Because, and I mean, and to be very honest, you know, the New England Patriots situation will change in a matter of 2 weeks, but they're in a similar situation with Brissett there at quarterback, us with Cody Kessler in a full-on developmental sit behind the guys that we are going to call upon. They're now into their 3-deep. We're into our 3-deep, but they get their quarterback in 2 weeks, and they're 2-0, and we're 0-2.
Yep. And it is, and it
and
is
I mean,
only
and the, and it is
get
slim pickings on the streets.
At Miami, at Washington,
Miami's garbage. Miami's garbage.
They are garbage, but it's going to be difficult if you're starting
I get it.
Cody Kessler in that game.
Well, he could play the Westlake Demons. Is going to be difficult with Cody Kessler.
Yes, the whole thing will be tough. And again, I wouldn't come out of that game impressed with the Ravens. I think that that is a team that lacks explosiveness on the offensive side of the ball. They really don't have playmakers there. And defensively, they've got some very good players up front. But I thought the Browns, all in all, did a pretty good job against them. But to be perfectly honest, the one thing that I come out with this, and I've said it week in and week out, that there is nobody that I have more respect for than Josh McCown. And Josh McCown took an absolute beating in this game. 3 sacks, 7 hits, 10 hurries, was pounded on, made some unbelievable plays just to stay alive in the pocket.
And how many times did he get hit and fall on that same left shoulder? Almost every single time.
He was driven onto his shoulder multiple times by humongous human beings. And again, I don't know how some of those things are whiffed from that close by 300-pound people going against 300-pound people, but it happened, and some of it was just very, very, very violent for Josh McCown, who certainly paid the price. And we'll have an update for you when we hear from Hugh Jackson at the podium live today at around 2:30 p.m. Still to come on this show, we want to hear from you. It's obviously Reaction Monday. What did you see going forward that gives you some optimism? Did you think that they were improved from week number one? Josh McCown, what the plan should be. We're going to hear from Josh McCown as well in this first hour. Jim Donovan at 2 o'clock. We've got Joe Hayden as well. And, of course, Hugh Jackson's Monday press conference. Here's the official update on Cam Irving. By the way, he was diagnosed with a pulmonary contusion. He was released from the hospital. His return to play status will be evaluated on a week-to-week basis. Most people think he will be out at least a month from this injury. When we return, 216-578-0850. Let's get your calls, your reactions to the Browns and the Ravens here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea.
We are two for two for wrestling songs today.
Yeah, it's good. Good looking out. It's good. It's good to notice. Good to see it. It's good to hear. It's good to feel. 216-578-0850. Let's go to the phone lines now. We'll start with Stan in Brooklyn. Stan.
How are you, gentlemen?
Doing well,
good, Stan. How are you?
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
You know, I spent the day with my wonderful son and his wife and my new grandson, Noah, 5 months old, and they stayed at the Hilton. We had a nice meal there. We went to the game, and I looked at the first quarter, and I said to my son, well, hey, it is what it is, and what transpired 3 quarters later, henceforth, it's to me. It's a work in progress, I guess. But then, what's sad is that you lose top-notch players to injuries. You know, this is sad. Who do you think between the two of you that the Browns will go after as a quarterback?
I have no idea. It's not like anybody on the free agent market right now is very confidence-inspiring. That is something that will be up to the coach and obviously Sashi and Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta. I have no idea where they go. Mike Vick is a name you've heard. T.J. Yates is a name that you've heard. Not exactly.
Jimmy Clausen.
Barn burners out there. So nothing necessarily great out there, and that's why. Let's go to now Freddie in Dayton. Freddie, welcome. Freddie, how are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, all right. Hey, listen, I can't imagine any quarterback who'd want to come to this team, okay, and get crushed week after week with the lack of protection that that the Browns have. There's just no way. RG3 and out.
All right. Thank you, Freddie. Now it's time. Now I'm excited. Matt, now it's going to get fun. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go to our guy, Terry in Cleveland. Terry.
Hey guys, no, I'm not gonna come down on you guys today. I'm just gonna make a couple points.
Okay.
The Browns obviously didn't realize the value of Alex Mack at center, and you see that he's gone now.
Terry, let me just jump in real quick. To be fair, Alex Mack did not want to be here. And you can't force him to be here if he does not want to be here. He left as a free agent. I'm sure that they valued him, but he didn't want to be here.
Well, maybe you could have tried to sweeten it enough for him to make him stay. I guess not. But in saying that, without him, you see where that front line is gone. I'm going to tell you something else, guys, that really bothered me yesterday.
Yep.
I saw it on three different occasions. Go back and look at it. Well, this is nothing to go back and look at, but I saw it on three different occasions. When Hugh Jackson went to correct players as they came off the field, they walked right past him, never looked at him, never stopped, acted like he was a statue, and just went right past him. I have never seen that before on a professional level that you just – I mean, they acted like
that's
he
not okay. Yeah, that's not okay. I didn't see that because I'm on the sidelines, so I didn't get to see it.
Terry, thank you very much for the call. I did see when Corey Coleman eventually came off the field, whether it was the next play or after that series stalled and we weren't able to kick the field goal.
After the one where he got the penalty?
After his penalty, Hugh Jackson was talking to him as he was coming off, and Corey Coleman looked at him and continued to talk, and then Hugh tried to reach for Corey to stop him. Corey kind of like half turned over his shoulder. Hugh continued to bark. Corey continued to bark, and Corey continued to the bench. It wasn't like eye to eye, you know, so on and so forth, as you might see. And I think even furthermore, the other time that he might be talking about is Cam Irving's 4th-and-2 penalty, right?
Yeah, the false start.
The false start. It's Hugh, you know, the camera is Hugh barking at someone, and then you see 74 enter the frame on television, and Cam just continues to walk past Hugh.
Yeah, that's not okay. That's not okay. And that's something that hopefully will be cleaned up and corrected, because you got to be on the same page here. Let's go to Chevy. Bob in Euclid. I'm sorry, Bob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Question, who polices the referees?
Dean Blandino is the head of officiating, and I'm sure they will come out and say that they blew a bunch of calls, but there's nothing that can be done about it. In week one, apparently, they came out and said after 16 – in the Jacksonville-Green Bay game, the officials said that they blew 16 calls that all went against the Jacksonville Jaguars, including there should have been 4 pass interference penalties called when Allen Robinson was running routes that weren't called. So they may come out and they may say it, and they may try to reprimand it.
It doesn't make anything better.
I think part of it is they need to pay these guys and make these guys full-time NFL refs. I realize they only work part of the year, but there's none of these guys – that's not the way that the union is set up. That's not the way that they do it. But I thought what we saw yesterday was ridiculous. The penalty on Joe Hayden when he was in perfect position that they ended up calling illegal contact, I thought was absurd. The Browns were done a disservice. And this is a team that when they need to fire on all cylinders, and we saw that for a quarter. They were up 20-0, dominant for a quarter. But they can't play against more than 11 people. And I thought that the personal foul on Corey Coleman, you can watch all 22 for yourself, I thought was absurd. I thought that the penalty on Terrell Pryor was equally absurd, and especially at a critical juncture, and wasn't even made by a guy who had any business. If the referee that he was throwing the ball to thought anything was going on, he would have done something about it. What bothers me is that they don't get together on a conference on that and say, no, absolutely not. And that ended up being a huge factor. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go now. Keep it rolling here. Chevy in New Jersey. Chevy, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. You know, even with the injuries, you got to say that this was an amazing draft. We are so competitive with all the deep cuts that they made, and now we're out here playing great football. Even with the injuries, people have to realize those looming draft picks next year, they're going to play their butts off. That guy who's waiting to get in there so he doesn't end up cut next year with all these draft picks, come on, we're going to be fine. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, Chevy. It was good to see some of these young guys. Again, they did well. Tyrone Holmes is another guy that is going to be considered part of this young class. And 10 snaps, we're going to see more of them, especially if Napsa misses some time as an edge rusher. And he came out 10 snaps, 3 hurries. You want to see him be able to do that. He drove Ronnie Stanley back with a bull rush on 2 occasions into the back of Joe Flacco, forcing them off the field on some third downs. And when the Browns only got off the field on third down 6 times, you know that those were big plays. Jeremy in Akron. Jeremy, welcome. What's up, bro?
What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
Here's my concern. Okay, you know I've been Mr. Positive this whole
time. Absolutely.
My concern now is we have Terrell Pryor starting to develop as a wideout, right?
Yep.
Corey Coleman looking to be the real deal. And we have Josh Gordon coming back. This is going to stunt their growth not having a quarterback and get them the ball.
Who's going to get them the ball? It's a huge question.
Cody Kessler is not ready to play. He's not ready to play. I would make a run at A.J. McCarron maybe, throw maybe a mid-round pick. I don't know what it would take to get him because it's going to hurt us big. It's going to set us back so much. That's why this morning I woke up kind of negative, because I like some of the stuff I'm seeing, but without a quarterback who can deliver the ball, it's going to stunt our growth as a team and an offense.
And listen, I said this last week as well. I said, when you look at it, you want Josh McCown in there over Kessler, because some people were saying, well, why would you go with Josh McCown? This is a rebuild. For the point that you just made, Jeremy, and that is that everybody else around him still needs the opportunity to develop. The receivers need the opportunity to develop. The line, the guys on defense need an offense that puts them in better positions. So I think this is it is a big deal. To be fair to the Browns, and I know we're talking Cody Kessler here, if you went through the National Football League and not chopped off the top two quarterbacks on pretty much most teams, it's not going to be a pretty picture.
No.
Unfortunately, the reality is the Browns have just had quarterbacks get hurt 2 weeks in a row. Part of that has to do with, you know, the offensive line. Part of it has to do with RG3, two guys that have been beaten up. I mean, and for people, you know, we got the call earlier about Alex Mack or Mitchell Schwartz. I was on the sideline for every game last year. I saw Josh McCown get his butt kicked behind that vaunted offensive line every bit as much, in fact, probably more than he did this week against the Ravens. He was knocked out of a game against the Ravens with a broken collarbone last year. So the lines are it's not the issue as much as you've got an older guy and then you had another guy with injury histories. The problem is, and Jeremy makes a great point, is the momentum you're getting with Coleman, Josh Gordon's going to come back. This was a team that was going to be predicated on throwing the football and making plays with these wide receivers, and we saw it in this game. We saw it in week one. That's going to be tough to do with Kessler. Now, he's going to have to learn on the fly. Maybe they get a veteran guy in here, but who's out there? And nobody is going to make trades. Teams don't trade quality backups. They're not going to – A.J. McCarron, as much as you talk about that, the connection, that's not going to happen.
No.
Coming out of Cincinnati. The chances of Mike Glennon being traded out of Tampa Bay are slim to none. Teams – guys are getting hurt all over the league. It's a physical, violent game. You need to have some kind of depth in for the Browns. You know, they were fine with one injury. Josh McCown looked very good. But two injuries at quarterback, that's very difficult.
It is very difficult. And I think the greatest point that of what you just said is that very few teams, and I think we'll look at the creme de la creme of the New England Patriots and what they do as a franchise now that they are in a similar situation too.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett's going to start.
Jacoby Brissett's going to start, or they're going to make some type of move to get some guy, but it's just a matter of nobody. You know, you're going to get the high end at 2-0 with the New England Patriots competing for a Super Bowl, and the Cleveland Browns in a redevelopmental year, both without their first two quarterbacks. And then you're going to see why each and every year taking multiple swings at the plate at the quarterback position, I think for the Cleveland Browns and other franchises in a similar situation, is of the most importance. Because you can put another guy back out on the streets, it's a mid to late round pick at worst, and then you pour all your eggs in a basket on that guy. And I understand that Cody Kessler is that guy for the Cleveland Browns right now, but what we've seen in the preseason is not nearly good enough to me personally, for us to even be competitive. And I think as we just heard from the last caller, and allow us to even evaluate Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon, Terrell Pryor as guys who have their own challenges to overcome. Pryor from quarterback to wide receiver. Josh Gordon, can he regain his stature? And Corey Coleman, can he be the franchise receiver we drafted him to be?
And we want to see that with competent quarterback play, and that, I think, is going to be the real challenge going forward. When we come back here on CBD, we'll continue to take your phone calls, and we will go to the podium and hear from one of the toughest men that you'll ever know, Josh McCown, his comments after the game. This is why these guys love him in this building. This is why the players love him, the coaches love him. It's why everybody who has an opportunity to come in contact with Josh McCown loves him. Listen to what he says about toughness. That'll be when we return on CBD. Get on my elevator,
baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. We go back to the phone lines on this Reaction Monday. The Browns fall to 0-2, losing the home opener 25-20 to the Baltimore Ravens. Dino the Trucker is with us. Dino.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm bummed out, but what the heck. You know, I kind of seen some improvement. You know, for what they've been through, I mean, with the quarterback situation and all, I mean, Josh McCown took a pounding. You could say the offensive line was doing bad, but they were also doing bad, like you said, last year, too. I mean, he was taking a pounding last year, broke his collarbone. I mean, I remember when I was watching Bernie Kosar, I don't know if the game quickened, but when we used to watch him live, we used to have season tickets at the stadium, and we used to do this thing. We used to time him from the time the ball was snapped, and he used to have between 6 to 9 seconds on an average to get rid of the ball when he was going back to pass.
Who did?
Now, Kosar did. Okay. Back then. I mean, we didn't do it scientifically. We just did it. You know, we're a bunch of guys and we were timing it. It seemed like an eternity. Maybe the game quickened. Quarterback now has 3 seconds on an average to get rid of a ball. You got to be pretty quick. So that's got to be – it's extremely fast. This game is really quickened. And as far as from the time it's snapped to the time that it's got to be released out of his hands. That's why you got a guy like Hugh Jackman going, we got to have pound the line with a running back. Well, we don't have that yet. We got some of it, but that's what we need. We need to have run to establish a pass. We got to pound the line, the defensive line, to give the luxury to a guy like RG3, Josh, Kessler.
Problem is, again, with Kessler out there, they're going to put 8 guys in the box. If you've watched any of the Dallas games with Dak Prescott, they just throw 8 guys in the box. Ezekiel Elliott is running into a wall, and then they try to make him beat him on third down, and that's what they're going to try to do. They will make it as hard as possible for the Browns to run the ball if Cody Kessler is in there at quarterback. Bill in Brecksville.
Phil, what's up, Phil?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Hey, man, Nathan. You know, first of all, just a couple points. This is really watchable football. I'll watch this kind of football all year. You know, Kindred, you know, I have not seen him miss a tackle. That guy looks like someone.
He's like
that
a missile.
It's amazing. You know, I think the Cameron Irving test for the experiment, I think it's over. I think his body style, I just think he's not a perfect center. Josh McCown, you know, I love him and everybody loves him, but he's 2-20. You know, and 2-18 or something in his last 20.
Uh-huh.
Danny Shelton, you know what? He looks like a player. Kirksey looks like he can stop the run, and the Joe Hayden is the Joe Hayden of before. So, you know what? I'll take all this, and I'll watch these games. If this is the way it's going, I'm in.
It was improvement, and there were flashes. We need them to be more consistent. The scary part is now what's happening at quarterback, the most important position on the field, and does that stunt the growth? But I did think we saw positives in this game.
I agree. And to go back to your call, Phil, and we thank you very much for calling in, he named a lot of the high points, you know, and the players that we have out there making plays. But then when you go to the guys that he didn't name, Jordan Poyer, not good enough. You know, Jamar Taylor, 2 games. Not good enough. You know,
Tremont
Williams, close, but not
always right.
Not
there.
Always right there, but not good enough. So when you, and you know, you even look at some of the guys that you don't name that aren't making the plays consistently for us, those are going to be the focal points for every offense or defense that come in here to focus on how do we get, you know, Jamar Taylor in a one-on-one situation. On this down and distance, they play this coverage. Jamar Taylor has continually been beat by this. How do we get who's coming up? Jordan Cameron, right? On Jordan Poyer. How do we line him up and allow this guy, you know, who's a former Cleveland Brown, to make a play against Jordan Poyer, who's given up catch after catch after catch after catch? So our players that are playing right now are not the problem. And I think they will consistently produce the Corey Coleman's and the Joe Hayden's and the Danny Shelton's. Because once you get it figured out, you got it.
Yep.
You know, it's when you get comfortable, which I don't think Hugh Jackson will allow them to, is when you become susceptible again as a playmaker and then you fall off the map. It's everyone else that are the weak spots of who we are right now because we're just so young and we don't have studs everywhere yet. We've got too many holes. Well, that's going to be the focal point of every offense or defense, like I just said. then how do you showcase that and try to stopgap some of those situations?
That will be the question, and yes, we need to get some of these guys to step up the back end of our defense. The run defense, if you told me the Browns are going to be giving up 3.6 yards a carry so far this year, they haven't allowed a single run of 20 yards, so not one chunk play run. They are, in terms of yards per carry allowed, they are number 9 in the league. By the way, Adam Schefter reporting right now on Twitter. Let me just click on it and make sure it's the real Adam Schefter, and indeed that it is. Browns rookie quarterback Cody Kessler will start Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, per league sources. Josh McCown dealing with a shoulder injury. So Adam Schefter is reporting that. That was 1 minute ago that tweet popped up on my feed that Cody Kessler will be starting week number 3 for the Cleveland Browns. 3 weeks, 3 quarterbacks for Hugh Jackson. He addresses the media live at 2:30, so I'm sure we will have his comments at that time. John in Cleveland, welcome.
The only question I have, I was at the game, and the no call when McCown got drilled when he came up.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Ridiculous. So it should have been.
Yes.
Because isn't the rule once the quarterback gives himself up, they can't
protect
him like he did?
Yes, that was ridiculous. Hugh Jackson was furious with it. Crow was getting on the refs for like 4 plays after that about it. It was it was bad. It was egregious. It was bad.
It was horrible.
Yes.
But overall, Browns, I'm happy with them. Showing improvement. That's all we can ask for at this point in this season.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. And when we come back, we will hear from Josh McCown. Lynn in Cleveland. Lynn.
Hi, guys. I thought the game was – I didn't like a lot of calls. But, you know, McCown, he came in and you could just see he oozed confidence. He knew the offense really well. You know, he passed the ball around to a lot of different people. It's really sad what's happened to him. And I think if Cody Kessler starts, I don't see us going forward very quickly like we would if McCown would be in. But you've got to have a line that can protect these quarterbacks, because it doesn't matter who they are. If these folks are just going to tee off on him, they're going to get hurt. And so I think the offensive line has got to be better in protecting him. And, yes, he needs to throw the ball away. Maybe they need to do more run plays to protect him. But the bottom line is no one is going to be healthy unless we have a better offensive line.
And it's not even about the offensive line. The offensive line, you know, last year was supposed to be so great. And quarterbacks are getting hurt around the league no matter what. Part of it is scheme. Part of it's the quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger's been hurt. Tom Brady has gotten hurt behind his line. Aaron Rodgers has missed time. It's a tough, tough game.
Ben Roethlisberger missed time.
Yeah,
and he's
a big, tough,
tough
guy. So it is definitely a challenge. But, yes, you can't keep going on. If you're getting quarterbacks knocked out game after game, week after week. The toughness, though, that Josh McCown showed off the charts in this one, we will hear from him his emotional post-game interview when we return.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. There's no Brown that I know that I respect more than Josh McCown. Take a listen to this post-game press conference to see just how much this all means to the Browns quarterback.
First off, Josh, how's your left shoulder or arm, whatever?
It was all right. You know, just feeling a few times. It'll be all right, though. Defer all those questions to the medical staff. They'll take a look at them and let me know what they find out.
Did you ever think at any point you wouldn't be able to go back in?
No, not really. Wasn't in my mind.
Do you think you'll be able to play next week?
That's my plan.
Josh, how deflating is the kind of the taunting call at the end? I don't know what Terrell did or didn't do on that, but
yeah.
You guys were in position there.
Yeah. I didn't see what he did. Obviously very deflating, because we're going to get down there tight and have some shots at the end zone where the clock is kind of no longer a factor. So that hurt. But again, I didn't see what he did or what happened. All of us, you know, kind of had little things here and there that we should have done different that would help this that outcome be different. And we'll look at that and make those corrections.
Josh, I know you've been a part of a lot of games and just a lot of momentum swings, but how difficult is this one having a start that you guys had and not being able to score?
Yeah, it's disappointing, you know, and I think it's for, you know, who we are as a young team, it's things we got to learn, you know, and how to, you know, ride these waves back and forth and grab some of the momentum back and go put the ball in the end zone, you know. And so we'll look at the tape and see, you know, I know certainly just as you did before, after the interception four had by me was one of those things that attributed to that. And that can't happen. So I'll speak for myself on the part I did and kind of losing some momentum and just can't do that.
But Corey Coleman, I mean, he had the two touchdowns early, which I know you guys have been waiting for, and then he has another penalty that takes you out of field originally.
Yeah, again, you know, it's what we talk about. Everybody kind of did something. For me, I'm focused on the interception before half. I'm really disappointed in that. And you know, I think Corey will look at that and go, man, that's the thing I got to clean up. That can't happen. And because it bumps us back out of field goal range and you get three there and you know, we're driving with a different mentality at the end. So yeah, I mean, it's just all these things are part of, you know, part of the growing curve with a young team. It's just disappointing because we're standing right there with a chance to win the ball game against a good team. So you know, we just got to reload and go back to work.
Josh, we've seen you play through a lot of injuries. Where does the ability to do that come from? How long? I mean, is this something that you were like this when you were, you know, a kid growing up playing football? I mean, where?
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
I think it's just not wanting to not be out there with your guys. You know, I got a dad and an older brother who I know get up and go to work, and sometimes they don't feel great, and they go and they go and they grind, you know. And then I got two little boys that they're playing football now, you know, and they get hit and they get banged up, and trying to teach them what toughness means, you know. And so for me, it's those things that and just knowing the window for me right now, and understanding that I don't want to miss snaps, I don't want to be out, you know, without my guys. So. You know, for me, it's just, you know, unless it's, you know, going to fall off, let's try to make it work and make it go. So that's my mentality.
When you came in, you got to be examined. I mean, did you know that, hey, this is just, I'm going to go back out there? But the first time, did you know that you'd be right back out?
Yeah, it was just, you know, just getting examined, like I said, to make sure, you know, we were in the clear, and then let's get back out there and play. So doctors did their job, and everything was good, so we got back out there.
Josh, Cam Irving got left here and was strapped to a board. No apparent center on the roster. How concerning is that for you?
It's obvious. First of all, just anytime somebody leaves here strapped to a board is not good. So, you know, prayers and thoughts are with Cam. Hopefully everything will be all right. But, you know, I just told Greg I thought he did a heck of a job sliding over to center and you know, doing everything he could to get us down, you know, the snaps were great. You know, it's a hard deal to slide in the center and just have to be in the right away. And Greg did awesome. And like I said, we were moving the ball down the field. So, you know, I know, we'll, you know, let the coaches and management figure out, you know, how that affects us. But for the guys that are here and on the roster, it's always a next man up mentality. And Greg did a good job sliding in them. And we'll make the appropriate changes if we need to. Hopefully Cam's all right, and we'll move on.
Given what happened with Robert last week when he stood before us and he was in pain with his left shoulder, number one, isn't it somewhat ironic that here we are in week two? And then also, does that make you concerned that upon further, you know, exams tomorrow, that this could be something serious?
Yeah, we'll see. My mindset is, you know, that everything will be all right and we'll move ahead, you know, business as usual. So it's just a matter of letting the doctors and trainers do their job and you know, my expectation is to play some ball.
It seemed like you kept getting fallen on the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Every time?
Yeah, it just, for just whatever reason, it just kept going down on the left side. So it obviously was pretty frustrating. So, I thought the guy's fault, and it never goes without saying how hard they fought. And so it just was one of those deals, and just happened to keep falling on that left side. It doesn't feel good. But that's part of the game.
One guy jumped on you when you gave yourself up. Did you feel like they were targeting you once they knew that there was an issue?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak for them. I just know in that moment, I thought I'd given myself up. I thought that was clear. And so more than anything, I just thought there would be a little bit more protection there from the refs. But they make their calls, and we trust their calls. And we move forward. So I don't know. I can't speak for what their defense was doing. They're a hard-nosed defense to play hard, and they play physical. And they did that today.
It seemed like every time you took a shot in the first half, you'd get back, hit all your third down passes. I mean, was that something that after you took those shots that maybe, I'm going to say, feet fed off of maybe a little bit?
Well, it's just my goal and our goal, in every category, but just is to be up there in the league in third downs, and that's something that we shoot for, because it allows our offense to stay on the field and our defense to stay off the field and let them rest. And so it was one of the things that we came in this week knowing we needed to improve on, and so for me it's just an area of emphasis, and so it's just a heightened awareness whenever it's third down that we got to go and convert, and so I felt like we did a good job of that in the first half, and could have been better in the second half, obviously.
Was there a point, I don't know if there's a specific point, where you felt like this may be slipping away? I mean, you're up 20-0, the crowd's into it, everybody's energized. Was it the end of the half? Was it their first drive?
Yeah, like I said, I think there are different moments, but for me, I certainly, I just walk away going the interception at the end of the half, was definitely one of those points where we gave a little bit back and gave them three, and so just disappointed in myself for that one. It can't happen. Higgins was he was working the guy on the route, and he and I got to get on the same page on what was going on, but if I can get off of him and check the ball down or something, but just keep the ball in play and not turn it over there at the half and not give him three. I think we let a little bit of momentum go there.
That's Josh McCown, and I love him, his honesty. There were a couple times he could have checked down and maybe picked up some yards, gotten us in field goal range where he held the ball, took some hits, but the toughness, talking about his kids, talking about his family, talking about his window and being out there with his guys. This is why Josh McCown's been in the league for this long. That's the kind of guy you get with him. And unfortunately, it looks like he will not be able to start at quarterback for the Browns this week against the Miami Dolphins. We will have hopefully the official word on that with Hugh Jackson when we take him live at 2:30. When we come back, we'll talk with the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, here on CBD.